During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal. In full disclosure, I am educationally the product of Lutheran day schools, whether it was the elementary day school that I attended that was associated with the Lutheran congregation, or the Lutheran junior high and high school, or, well, if you can even add in their higher education and seminary education, a product of Lutheran education from beginning to end, about as far as you can go. Well, I remember what it was like attending a Lutheran day school, classes of 30 kids. It was the heyday. It was the baby boom. And schools were doing great. Now, if you talk to a Lutheran congregation and said, maybe you should consider starting a school, all kinds of red flags are going to come up. It's too expensive. Can we support it? Can one congregation do this? Those are good questions. Those are practical questions. But are there more fundamental theological questions that we need to ask and answer before we endeavor to do such a thing? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to begin a series on the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school. Pastor Peter Bender joins us. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Peter, welcome back.
Good to be with you again, Todd.
You say that everything the church does, she does on the basis of her confession of faith, or she's not acting as the church. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, that might sound like kind of a radical statement. What I mean by that is the church is the body of Christ. We are called to faith by the Holy Spirit through the word of the gospel, to confess the Lord Jesus, to trust in him, to confess him, and to live by faith in him. Everything the church does in her practice must flow from that confession of faith in Christ. It must be born of the word of God, or she's not church. I mean, you're not going to hear the word of God anywhere else out in the world. You're only going to hear it in the church. And time is precious. And what the church does, she needs to make sure that what she does is anchored in her confession of faith in Christ, or she ceases to be the church, because what forms the church is the gospel and the Spirit of Christ that called us to faith and that animates the life of the church through word and sacrament in everything that she does. And so there are a lot of activities that the church does. You know, there are churches that in the inner city that may have soup kitchens, or they may have food banks and so forth. Why? You know, where does this come from? And of course, we would answer that type of question. It's our response to our faith in Christ in love for the neighbor that we would do such an endeavor. So when we're talking about a Lutheran day school, you know, we need to know, what is this thing called a Lutheran day school, and how does it dovetail with the church's confession of faith and her ministry of love in the world?
How did you come to this subject yourself? What's your story?
Well, I have to tell you, I was public school educated in grade school and in high school. My first parochial educational experience was at Concordia Teachers College in River Forest. That's what it was named when I applied and was accepted. And then it changed to Concordia College as I began my freshman year. And of course, we now know it as Concordia University, Chicago. And I went there because I intended to go to the seminary, but I also wanted a background in education, just believing from the start that being a teacher is important for a pastor. And I also wanted an emphasis in music. So my undergraduate degree was a Bachelor of Music Education degree with a vocal and choral emphasis. And for a time, I was certified in music in the state of Illinois, kindergarten through high school. And my student teaching experience was in a public elementary school and Oak Park and River Forest High School in Oak Park, Illinois. And those were significant experiences that I had because they began to make me think about education. And then many of my classmates in college were in the teacher education program. Some of them were also pre-seminary students, as I was. Some of them were not. But we had lots of opportunities to talk about what was going on in Lutheran education and had experience in going to observe in Lutheran elementary schools and so forth. And there are a number of things that stand out to me in those experiences. And one of them was, unfortunately, a negative experience, and that was how there seemed to be friction or animosity between the Lutheran day school classroom and the pulpit, the church. And this ought not to be. There ought to be harmony, concord, both in confession of faith and in practice. But there seemed to be a lot of, we are the ministers of religion here in the school, and you, pastor, are down there in the church and in the pulpit. That's your sphere. This is our sphere, and never the twain shall meet. And so a lot of thinking went into addressing that problem over the years. And the document that I prepared on the Lutheran Day School attempts to get at that and propose a solution that is based on the opening question that you gave me, you know, that our confession of faith and everything that we do must govern our practice, including the formation of a school and how we conceive of the office of teacher and the office of pastor, the secular kingdom, the spiritual kingdom, and so forth. Another experience, now this is positive, is when I served in my vicarage congregation way up at Crookston, Minnesota, Our Savior Lutheran Church. They had, a couple of years before my vicarage, started a Lutheran day school. And at the time they started it, they had no Lutheran teachers that came through the Concordia system as certified rostered teachers. Their initial teachers were lifelong Lutherans, members of the congregation, who were trained as teachers, and they were catechized and confirmed, confessing faithful Lutherans, and they became the initial teachers. And of course, this was multi-grades in a classroom, and I was struck by the wonderful harmony that existed between congregation and school. And of course, geography had something to do with that because we were using rooms in the church itself. There was not a separate school building. And I was also struck by the family atmosphere and how engaged parents were with the teacher, teacher with the parents, and there was a real collaboration and camaraderie there and a partnership with parents in every area of their child's academic upbringing. And of course, central to that was the passing on of the language of faith. And then, as you know, when I began in the ministry, I began my graduate studies in catechesis, and that fit with trying to wrestle with these questions and challenges that I had observed and seen in Missouri Synod parochial education down through the years. Then when I was called to Sussex back in 1991, they knew, since they called me twice, I came to visit them and I talked about Lutheran theology and practice and my dream for starting a Lutheran day school. And then I went back to Iowa and I returned the call. They knew at that time it was a passion of mine. And when they called the second time in July of 1991, they knew my hopes and dreams of starting a school. So they knew what they were getting, I guess you could say. And then we got to work right away, first with a preschool, and then we used that as a catalyst for assessing the interest and the need for a school and how well it would be received. In the Milwaukee metro area, if you were a congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and you didn't have a parochial school, you were at a decided disadvantage compared to other congregation. So you have committed Lutheran families. They want that Lutheran education for their children. And if you didn't have a school, they were going to go someplace else. So that was the beginning of this. And then we had formed an ad hoc day school committee of about 18 members while the preschool was going on. And it was that big to brainstorm about the concept of starting a school, how would we do it, what would the academic plan be, and so forth. And then it also became the place where I began to explore the foundational theology, because not all of our congregations have schools, and you are a Lutheran congregation because of the preaching of the gospel and the sacraments of Christ. They're administered there, and it's the congregation of Christians among whom those activities are done, and you may not have a school, but you're still church. So if a congregation's going to start a school, upon what basis would they start a school? What is the authority? What kind of jurisdiction do they have, and so forth? And so with that 18-member ad hoc day school committee, we explored a lot of those questions, and way back in 1994, published a 62-page document, the first section of which, and the largest portion, was what we have before us in our discussion, the Lutheran Day School, its theological foundation and practice. We studied that over the course of 5 Sunday mornings with the whole congregation. Every family got a copy. We had open forums about whether or not to start a school. And I always maintain, and this goes again back to your initial question, you know, everything that the church does, she does on the basis of her confession. I said repeatedly that I would rather the congregation understand the theology that undergirds the starting of a Lutheran school by a congregation and decide not to do it than not understand the theology and the foundation upon which a school would rest and move forward with it. Because I just believe that everything that the church does, this is our strength. This is what gives impetus and focus and faithfulness in whatever endeavor we pursue as church, if it is resting squarely upon the pure gospel and right doctrine. So that's a little bit about the background. And I have to say, Todd, I'll have to confess this. At the time when you have a congregation that goes through a number of months of study and unanimously approves doing something, at which we did, starting Peace Lutheran Academy, it was February of 1995. It was a unanimous closed ballot decision by the congregation. I thought, this is going to be easy. Well, it's been the single hardest thing, I would say, over the course of my nearly 35 years in the ministry, starting a school and then maintaining it with all of the various challenges and so forth.
We're talking about the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy and pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. We will talk about some of those challenges that he has faced in starting and maintaining a school right after the break. Dr. Ed Gremenstein, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, speaking boldly.
I think we should, as a Lutheran church body, never forget the power of the lay people in their ability to speak both law and gospel. I think it's literally like an untapped army that we can take better advantage of.
You can purchase Speaking Boldly at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040.
I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, writes St. Paul in his opening salvo to the Galatians. There is indeed no other gospel than that which we taught to you. And that's what the October issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about, the gospel proclaimed to you through the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Looking for a faithful Lutheran church in East Central Oklahoma? Welcome to Trinity Okmulgee, a friendly and faithful LCMS congregation only 40 miles south of Tulsa. Hi, this is Pastor Chris Teebs. Check us out at trinityokmulgee.org. That's Trinity, OKMULGEE, all one word, .org. See you soon at Trinity Okmulgee, Oklahoma.
Have you ever wondered if your investments could do more? I mean, a whole lot more? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. When you invest with us, you not only earn a competitive interest rate, but your investment goes to strengthen Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations through low-cost loans and services. To learn more, visit lcef.org/invest101.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, etc.
When Martin Luther preached the dedication for the Torgau Church, he asserted that nothing else happened in this house but that our dear Lord speak to us and we respond in prayer, thanksgiving, and praise.
Issues, etc. guest Dr. John Pless.
The same could be said of Concordia Theological Seminary. This is a place where our Lord speaks to us through His Word, and we respond in joyful and thankful confession. We therefore invite you to visit our campus, where the Word of Christ dwells among us richly.
Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155. We're beginning a series on the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. As we speak God's word with one another, as we speak God's law and gospel, as we believe that law and gospel, Jesus is present and Jesus is reigning in his kingdom among us right here on earth. It is amazing to think that all of that happens when we speak simple words of law and gospel to one another, but it does. A little bit from the Issues, Etc. book of the month for September called Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day. You'll find this book at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and order the Issues, Etc. book of the month for September, Speaking Boldly, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Peter, before the break, you said that starting and maintaining a Lutheran day school is the single most difficult task in the last 35 years of your public ministry. What were some of the challenges that you and the congregation faced?
Yeah, that's a real good one. One of the pieces of background information that I did not give you is that when we came to Wisconsin, our oldest son was entering into first grade. And our second oldest, Andrew, was like preschool age, 3 years old. And I remember how my wife and I were so frustrated in the local public school that he went to in trying to just talk to the teacher in common sense language as a human being who, you know, we care about our son and we want him to learn how to read. And we have questions on how to do this and what our role should be at home and so forth. And the way in which we were treated was very off-putting. You know, a teacher that signs her name to a letter with all of her degrees after it. And what we recognized is that there was such a lack of a partnership with parents. Ironically, you would think that getting a bunch of Lutherans together and starting a school, you wouldn't have those issues. But you still do. You still have those challenges. There's a tendency for even the best of a Lutheran teacher to think, you know, I'm the expert at education. Leave this in my hands. With that also can come sometimes the tendency for a teacher not to give due honor and respect for the office of father and mother and how much those parents love their child and want to do what's best for their child, even though they sometimes don't know how to do it. So here's one of the challenges, you know, how does a teacher, a Lutheran teacher, show due honor and respect and consideration for the father and mother who has entrusted that child to the care of that teacher in the classroom, even though the parent at times may be not thinking along the right lines on what should be done for this particular child. So the need to catechize parents on the one hand, but also show them total deference and respect on the other, is an ongoing challenge. It's why our academy in the founding charter, you know, talks about forging a partnership with parents in elementary education and Lutheran catechesis. And you've heard me speak before about how pastors need to catechize parents. And if they catechize parents, they will be able to reach the children of those parents. And in a lot of ways, that becomes a key challenge in starting a day school, that the parents are more important in a lot of ways than the children that are entrusted to us in a day school. And learning to understand that is only the first step. How do you carry that out in the day-to-day life of the Lutheran day school? And to impress upon teachers, and especially teachers who don't have children of their own, maybe they're not married, they're single, they don't have their own children, for them to fathom the depth of love that the parents of their children have is, you can say, yeah, I know they love their parent, they love their children and so forth, but there's nothing like at times experiencing that for yourself. So I find that it's one of the biggest challenges for teachers who are single and who do not have children of their own to understand the depth of care and love that the parents of the children have for them.
Just so we put a bow on this kind of walk down memory lane for you, what is the current status of Peace Lutheran Academy?
The current status of Peace Lutheran Academy is we've completed 25 years. We have always been small, between 20 and 45 kids. We are at 25 enrolled this year, but it is a strong school. It enjoys the full support of the congregation. It also, through our music program and through the singing of the choirs, has a major impact on congregational life. It also has an impact on those parents who, while they don't send their children to the academy, those who are homeschool children in particular, in helping partner with them by modeling in the academy, daily chapel, our congregation at prayer, the catechesis that goes on there, the way the Christian faith and life should be passed on and then also lived in the day-to-day life of Christians. So that's the status of our academy now. We have 3.5 full-time teachers and a part-time music teacher and a part-time headmaster.
You had mentioned one of your sons, Andrew, before, and you have formulated your thoughts on the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school around little snippets of conversation with him. Talk about that.
Yes, the Lutheran Day School, its theological foundation and practice, takes up, you know, the spiritual kingdom, the so-called right-hand kingdom, what is it? And then the left-hand kingdom, the secular kingdom, what is that? And where does the Christian belong, in which kingdom? And where does the Lutheran school belong, and so forth? And a lot of the material can, unfortunately, be perceived as rather dry. And so knowing I was going to try to catechize the congregation in this rich theology and important theology, I was searching for a way to do it. And my son, Andrew, and I remember Andrew was also, when we were talking about whether or not we're going to have the school. Dad, are we going to have the school? Are we going to have a school? Is Peace going to start a school? And he did start in the second academic year when we bumped from kindergarten up to fourth grade. And so he was able to move from one Lutheran school from another congregation into our school. And he was in fourth grade at the time. But a couple of years before that, in fact, it was in the first couple of years that I was here in Sussex, I went to a free conference of Missouri and Wisconsin Synod pastors in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, and they were discussing the doctrine of church and ministry. And there were two professors, one from Fort Wayne, the Missouri Synod pastor, Kurt Marquardt, and another professor from the Wisconsin Synod. I remember how frustrated I was, and I know a lot of others were, when Professor Marquardt attempted to quote the Lutheran confessions to talk about what the church is. and the assembly of all believers in Christ, among whom the gospel is preached and the sacraments are administered according to Christ's institution. And I remember the professor from the Wisconsin Synod distinctly said, well, you can't do that because that's not scripture. And here, this is a group of Lutherans, Wisconsin, Missouri, both of whom are supposed to be subscribing to the Lutheran confessions as a faithful exposition of the Word of God. If you cannot quote from the Lutheran confessions among Lutheran Christians with some degree of authority, this is what we believe and teach and confess, then the confessions, the Book of Concord, has no purpose. I mean, you can say, I subscribe because it is faithful to the scriptures, but then if you are not willing to quote from it and govern your doctrine and your practice and life in the church on the basis, then what purpose does it serve? So, as was usually the case, we came home that day, and around the dinner table, I was sharing with my wife the frustration over this discussion about church and ministry, and particularly confessional subscription, this quia subscription, that we subscribe to the Lutheran confessions because they are faithful to the scriptures. And getting ready for bed, Andrew took his bath, and I was in the bathroom with him helping to dry off and get ready for bed and so forth. And he asked me, 7 years old at the time, he said, Dad, what didn't those men understand? I paused and I sighed and I said, well, and then to myself, how am I going to teach confessional subscription to a seven-year-old child? And then I remembered Luther in the Small Called Articles, who said, thank God a seven-year-old child knows what the church is. Sheep who hear the voice of the shepherd. So I said to him, Andrew, do you know the Apostles' Creed? And he says, yes. How does it go? And he starts in, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And then I interrupt him, is it true? And I remember he kind of stepped back, and the look on his face was as if to say, why would you ask me such a question? Is it true? I mean, if you think about it, I'm his father. We've been confessing the creed since he was, you know, not old enough to talk yet. Of course it's true. Dad and Mom only teach me things that are true. So he says, yes. And then I said, where did it come from? And he said, God's word. And I said, that's what those men didn't understand. And so it was that conversation with Andrew that gave me the idea, if I begin each of these sections on the theology of your Lutheran day school with conversations with Andrew, it would help to have the doctrine, you know, the rubber of doctrine meet the road, so to speak, of practice. And that was the first conversation in this introduction on confessional subscription and the opening sentence that you quoted at the beginning. Everything that the church does, she does on the basis of her confession of faith, or she's not acting as church.
We're talking with Pastor Peter Bender about the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school. When we come back, he'll make the case that Christians necessarily have a confession and have not only the liberty to make a public confession of faith, but a duty to do so also. During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such, in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with healings and opposition. plentiful harvest, and laborers. Instructions for the apostles, persecutions will come. Fear not. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute, verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. We're talking about the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school. Peter, let's turn to the subject of the Christian's Confession, kind of where we began, but we can expand on it. I think many Christians eschew the idea of having a confession of faith. Bible only will kind of be their way to go. But that means you have to make the case that Christians necessarily have confessions of faith, and that we not only have the liberty to confess, we have the responsibility to do so also.
Right. Jesus preached and he taught, and to be a disciple in the ancient world meant that you followed a teacher, learning both what he said and then how he lived. And I think that's an aspect of being a disciple of Christ that we sometimes miss, how it's not simply the learning of knowledge, material, but then it's also the way of life. And this, Todd, has shaped some of my own understanding in defining catechesis is God's way of teaching to convert the heart and then passing on the language of faith so that we learn how to pray, how to confess, how to receive God's gifts, and how to live where God has planted us. And so the disciples were with Jesus. They ate with him. They drank with him. They sat at his feet and they listened to him. They observed how he prayed. They observed how he interacted with people. They were his disciples to follow him, not only in, you know, kind of objective doctrinal teachings, but in the life that those objective doctrinal teachings shaped. And so when they're off in Caesarea Philippi, well into his ministry, it's recorded in Matthew 16, you know, he asks, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets, and so forth. "But who do you say that I am?" "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's a confession of faith. And then he says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." And then he says, "You are Peter, and upon this rock, this confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her." And then he goes on to talk about the necessity for his suffering, death, and resurrection, and how they're called to take up his cross, their cross, and follow him. So upon this rock of the confession of the truth, I will build my church. This is what gives rise to the assertion that everything that the church does, she does on the basis of her confession of faith, because it is only the confession of the truth and that which grows out of it that will endure, that will last, that will be able to withstand the assaults of the evil one, the wickedness of our age, the foibles and weaknesses of the sinful flesh. It is only the confession of the truth born of the Word and Spirit of God that can endure that. So that has got to be the foundation for everything that the church does. And so St. Paul says, you know, in 2 Corinthians, since we have the same spirit of faith, so he talks about the faith is given by the Spirit of God. According to what is written, "I believed and therefore I spoke." We also believe and therefore speak. And the ministry of the Apostle Paul and the others in the book of Acts indicates that they not only believed and therefore spoke, but they believed and therefore did. that the life of the church, how she lived, if you look at Acts chapter 2 after Pentecost, the care for the mercy work for those who were in need and suffering persecution, how they pooled their resources together in works of charity and love to help those Christians in need under persecution and so forth, or during the time of the famine in the first century. These are all concrete, practical ways in which the church, out of her faith in Christ, out of her confession of faith, served the neighbor in love. And so you can begin to see how the Lutheran Day School is going to be one of those outward activities that rests upon this foundation of faith in Christ that's lived out in love to the neighbor, in this case, serving the Christian father and mother in helping to rear their children in the nurture and love of the Lord, as well as faithful citizens in the society and culture.
So go into a little more detail before we talk about that confessional subscription. How is it that the Christian Day School is not just one among many ways, but in a lot of ways, a thoroughly consistent way that the church manifests its confession of faith in the world, not only as a witness, but also as service to neighbor?
Yeah, our history in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are the Saxon immigrants that came over here in the 19th century. The catalyst for that immigration was really religious persecution and the forced union of Lutheran and Reformed churches. And in Saxony at the time, where there's not like we think about it in the United States, you know, separation of church and state. I mean, the schools were all church schools. So if there's a forced union, as there was at that time, then there was a denial of the real presence of Christ's body and blood in the sacrament and so forth. And schools, these were the only schools that they had to attend. And so the breaking away and coming to the United States and sailing up the Mississippi River and settling in Perry County, a huge catalyst behind it was the idea of wanting to impart the faith to our children, and that every aspect of education had to be seasoned with the salt of the Word of God and with faith in every subject. Our first teachers in those single-room schools, you know, were for the most part pastors. And this also has a kind of a historical phenomenon of how we view the office of day school teacher that we can talk about sometime in the future. But these were some of the concerns that the early Saxon immigrants just wanted to be thoroughly Lutheran in every sense of the life that they lived and to pass that on to their children. And so Lutheran day schools was the most natural way for them to do this and to understand, as Luther articulates in the Fourth Commandment explanation in the Large Catechism, that the office of father and mother is the highest office in all of creation, and that fathers and mothers have this responsibility to not only bring their children into the world, but to feed them, to clothe them, to pass on the faith to them, and to educate them that they might be faithful, God-fearing citizens in this world, living as disciples of the Lord Jesus with faith in him and in love toward the neighbor. And so this is why they thought that the integration of the Christian faith had to carry through all aspects of life. And one of the passages we've looked at in the past was that Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And these words shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you lie down, and when you rise up." All of those basic activities of life, and binding them before your eyes that you can see them, and upon your hands in your daily work. So this is where this movement that the early Lutherans, our forefathers in the Missouri Synod, have of our doctrine, our faith, our confession, then moves out into all aspects of our life as disciples of Jesus. And then it becomes quite an evangelistic emphasis as well that our schools ended up having.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest, director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. We're talking about the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school. We will return to the two different kinds of subscription to confessions right after the break.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school. It's part one of a series with Pastor Peter Bender, pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Peter, I'd like you to return to a subject we discussed briefly at the beginning, and that is there are two kinds of confessional subscription. One seeks to join Scripture and the confession together, as you have been doing so far in this conversation, and the other drives a wedge between them. Talk about that.
Yeah, the one that we've been talking about and that I taught Andrew when he was 7 years old is when we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, as we do in the Apostles' Creed, we are saying that because we believe that those words are absolutely faithful to the apostolic witness, to the Scriptures, to the Word of God, as opposed to saying those words with our fingers crossed. And the kind of subscription that you and I had was a quia subscription, which means that we subscribe to the Lutheran confessions, the three creeds, and the Book of Concord because it is faithful to the Word of God. The quatenus, that Latin term, subscription, sounds pious, and it's something that would be, I guess you could say, at best, this is what the ELCA version would be, that we will subscribe to these confessions insofar as, so that insofar as they are faithful to the Scriptures. And that sounds pious, because one could say, well, I wouldn't want to subscribe to anything that isn't faithful to the Scriptures, so this is my confession insofar as it agrees with Scripture. But it's a slippery slope, Todd. When you say that, then you're saying, I can pick and choose what I want or what I don't want. When Jesus, in that great moment in Caesarea Philippi, asked that question, who do men say that I am? Peter confessed, and what he confessed was the faith of all of his fellow disciples. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That faith had taken ownership of his heart. That faith governed him. It was a conviction. On the one hand, Todd, this really was his confession. I believe, as Paul said in that 2 Corinthians passage, chapter 4, verse 13, I believed, therefore I spoke. And it's what Andrew is saying when I asked him, do you know the creed? Yes. Is it true? Well, yes. Why? Because it's from God's word. Of course it's true. On the one hand, it was Peter's confession when he made it. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. On the other hand, it was entirely a miracle and a gift of God, a creation of the Holy Spirit in his heart through the word of the gospel. And this is this wonderful thing about confessional subscription and then acting according to our confession of faith, whether it's building a Lutheran day school or in anything else that we do in life. It gives us the certainty, Todd. It gives us the certainty and the conviction that this endeavor, whatever it is resting squarely upon Christ Jesus and upon the Old Testament and the New Testament prophetic and apostolic scriptures. Certainty. Certainty that what we do then carries with it God's blessing. And there's great freedom in that. And so when we subscribe to the Lutheran confessions in our ordination, that gave us great freedom to be bound to those confessions because we have learned to understand that they were faithful to the Scriptures and they could govern everything that we did as ministers and then everything the church does, even in her auxiliary endeavors like the starting of a school or mercy work in the community and so forth.
How do you respond to someone who says, and this is quite popular objection to what you've just described, no one can be that certain of anything. You know, the Bible is variously interpreted, so who can be sure about this or that? But just to claim that you can have that kind of certainty is a kind of intellectual or even a Pharisaical arrogance. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, that is a common objection. And I think, Todd, that what Jesus said to the Apostle Peter in Matthew 16, "Blessed are you, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you," means that it is anything but an arrogant assertion on our part when we talk about confessional subscription, but rather it is an act of humility. See, we live in an age in which if you say, "Thus says the Lord," on anything, then you are being arrogant. When in reality, to say, "Thus says the Lord," is actually an act of humility, because it gives the glory and the deference to Him, to His word. Part of the reason that the assertion comes that you're being arrogant and so forth is that we have to understand the times that we live in. And the times that we live in deny any notion of absolute truth. They deny the notion of the inspiration of Holy Scripture. The New Testament wasn't written by the people who say they wrote the New Testament. It was written by community groups of quote-unquote so-called believers who concocted stories about Jesus to lift this mere man from Nazareth up to a higher standard of being Son of God, and he never believed that about himself. He was just a moral and ethical teacher. So when you live in a world like we live in, which is increasingly post-Christian, anytime you make a confession of faith based on Scripture outside of yourself, the accusation of arrogance comes. Now, I think there's an important role to play. You know, when you asked the question, you also talked about how, you know, who can be certain of what the right interpretation is. And part of what our heritage is as Lutherans is that we are actually not confessing, nor do we claim to be confessing, anything that is new or novel or revolutionary. But it is the ultimate act of humility to also say that not only is our confession of faith in agreement with the Scriptures, but it is also in continuity with Christians and the church down through the centuries who have confessed the same thing. And this is what Professor Marquardt in that free conference was talking about when he cited from the Augsburg Confession that the church is the assembly of believers in Christ among whom the gospel is preached and the sacraments are administered. He would have argued at that time, and we have argued before and since, that this is in keeping with how the church, how Christians have always understood what the church is from the Scriptures. And the confessions, as a statement of faith, merely give voice to that. But you're exactly right. I mean, the charge of arrogance and snobbery and so forth is a common charge.
I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking to Pastor Peter Bender of Peace Lutheran Church and School in Sussex, Wisconsin, about the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school. We have two excellent articles in the latest Issues Etc. journal. One comes from Pastor Will Whedon, host of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, on Lutheran dirges and such. He explores a very comforting hymn. Also, our Wittenberg Trail feature from rapper Flame called A Divine Fluke. He traces his trail from Bapticostal theology through Reformed theology to the Lutheran confession. You can subscribe for free. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the red subscription button, enter your email address, and we will send you the latest Issues Etc. journal absolutely free. When we come back, people will ask, how much does it cost? Can we afford it? Pastor Peter Bender says there's an even more important question before we get to those practical ones. Even more practical question. We'll find out what it is after this. Dr. Ed Gremenstein, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, speaking boldly.
I think we should, as a Lutheran church body, never forget the power of the lay people in their ability to speak both law and gospel. I think it's literally like an untapped army that we can take better advantage of.
You can purchase Speaking Boldly at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Eric Lang of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, Oregon. One thing I've asked of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Mount Hood, Multnomah Falls, the Oregon coast. Oregon is beautiful, but nothing compares to the beauty of the Lord's house. If you are vacationing in the Portland area, please come join us at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one. For more information, go to wherethelogylives.org.
It's been 6 years since Ad Cruisen started advertising on Issues Etc., and we are so grateful for the support we have received from Pastor Wilkin and his team. In that time, we have increased our inventory substantially. We've added ornaments, church banners, jewelry, posters, and much, much more. But we still offer beautifully printed, theologically sound greeting cards that need no correction. So put away that Sharpie and come on over to adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
We're starting a series with Pastor Peter Bender on the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Bender, there are practical questions like, how much is this going to cost? Can the congregation afford a Lutheran day school? But you say that there is an even more practical question, and it's also profoundly theological. And that question is, what is a Lutheran day school? Why that question?
Yeah, I think invariably, if a congregation has the idea of starting a school, or if individuals in the congregation, you know, we ought to start a school. This would be a great thing. The condition of public schools nowadays make it untenable for us to send our kids, or we ought to start a school. And then immediately, well, this costs way too much. I mean, the cost of healthcare in our own academy budget, you know, well over 95% is all in the budget for simply staff, the teachers, because of salary and benefits. And we only pay 75% of district scale from the pastor on down through the teachers. But when you go there, how much will it cost? Then it puts the cart in front of the horse and not behind it. Those things that are worth doing are worth paying for. But you don't know whether or not it's worth doing unless you understand what the thing is. So I say that, of course, it requires a great resource of energy, time, and money. It's an enormous undertaking. As I said at the outset, you know, I thought it would be easy, but it is difficult. It is hard. But it is simply not enough to ask how much will it cost or can we afford it. But we got to ask, what is a Lutheran day school? And where does it fit in the church's ministry? And this is where, in order to address that question, I went in this essay into the topic of understanding clearly what is the spiritual kingdom. And the spiritual kingdom is where God governs the heart through the preaching of the gospel, to create faith in Christ, to nurture faith in Christ. So the spiritual kingdom, or the church as church, is known by her marks. And that's what Professor Marquardt was saying in that free conference when he quoted the Augsburg Confession, the assembly of believers in Christ. But how is faith created? It is created by the preaching of the gospel and the sacraments. And so in the strict sense of the term, that's what the church really is. And that has to be clearly distinguished, because then you ask the question, what does a school do? Is the school's function to preach the gospel? Is the school's function to administer the sacraments? To what extent is it or is it not that the school's function to do that? And if not, does the church have any business starting a school? And this is what leads us into the discussion of what is the secular kingdom or the left-hand kingdom. And it's how God rules the world through the force of law. And so things like the teaching of mathematics, the teaching of science or of geography, those things in and of themselves are not, strictly speaking, part of the spiritual kingdom, the ministry of the church. So then should the church be engaged in any endeavor that would teach these things? So we first need to understand, what is the spiritual kingdom? What is the church as church? That's why I said a lot of congregations exist and they are fully church, even though they have no school. And why are they fully church? They are because they have the gospel being preached, the sacraments being administered, and Christians gathering around word and sacrament. But there are a lot of churches that start auxiliary organizations, like a school, like a ministry to the homeless, to the sick, to the impoverished. Why? Because that becomes a response of their faith to serve the neighbor in love. And what we will find is that the Lutheran day school exists really in both realms. But making those clear distinctions is important so that it helps us to govern our decisions when starting a school. What is non-negotiable? What is negotiable? What should take place? Who should be doing this, that, or the other thing in the school? And to clearly understand what the church is and her ministry keeps the pastor in his proper role as overseer of doctrine, of preaching, of catechesis, of the worship life, and ensuring that what is taught in a school is compatible with the doctrine. Here again, confessional subscription. And it allows the freedom to the Lutheran day school teacher to assist parents in all of the other aspects that are sometimes assigned to what we would call the left-hand kingdom or the secular kingdom.
I want you to address here a frustrating dynamic that often happens when a congregation either has or is planning to have a school. A certain kind of rationale rises up. I'm sure you're quite familiar with it, and that is, well, you know, since our primary goal is outreach, we're going to use our school as an outreach, and this is how it's going to work. We're going to have a good school. Parents will want to send their kid to the school, but we're going to put a condition on a tuition break or something like that, that they attend the church, and then our attendance will go up. It's a little bit of a bait and a switch. There's some truth to it, and it's well-intended, but it becomes a very frustrating dynamic between church and school. How would you address that?
Yeah, it sure does. I think the biggest thing that I've observed under that question that you raise is that in the name of outreach, our schools have taken out of their life the one thing that does the outreach, that creates faith, and that is the Word of God and catechesis. So I know of churches in the Milwaukee metro area, for example, that operate schools, and the pastors have stopped having catechesis classes, confirmation instruction in the school. That if they want that, that is something that is done on after school hours or on a Saturday. So there are a number of schools that have no active catechesis and confirmation instruction being done in the Lutheran day school. So what happens there is it becomes a public school. But ironically, Todd, we're having these schools in the name of outreach, but those same schools then take the one thing out of the schools that create faith and that nurture faith and that sustain faith. With that also comes the reduction of chapel from once a week to maybe once a month, of pastors rarely participating in chapel whatsoever. So they become private schools rather than Lutheran schools. And so I think that our churches in operating of schools have an opportunity to do outreach when they are true to themselves, when they allow themselves to be who they are. So, for example, we have had non-members attend our academy. They are not required to become members of the congregation, but they are required to take my 24 weeks of didache, going through Lutheran catechesis, either the year before they enroll their children for the first time or the year that their children are enrolled the first time. And the reason for that is that they need to know, if they're going to be in partnership with us, what it is that we believe, teach, and confess concerning the Christian faith. If we want them to partner with us in the teaching of reading, and we have a strong phonics program, and we want them to be able to buy into that and say, you know, we're sending our kids here because we support what they're doing in the teaching of reading, how much more in the teaching of the Christian faith? And so I think this is where our schools can become places of outreach into the community, insofar as we allow the Word of God to speak free and unhindered, and we stand on that perspective.
Well, and you've just pointed out that this is not rocket science. It's really rather simple. The very thing you began our conversation with is that the Word of God alone creates saving faith. This kind of outreach that many churches hope to have with their school isn't going to happen by osmosis or by mere contact or them being in a school that has a cross outside. There has to be intentional instruction in the Word of God.
That's right. And see, this intentional instruction that you mention, and that it's not by osmosis that people become Christians, this is part and parcel of our confessional subscription. In other words, it is because we believe what we believe about how faith is created, how faith is nurtured, how faith is passed on, how Christians are sustained in their faith against the assaults of devil, world, and flesh, and so forth, which is why we do the things that we do in a Lutheran school or in a Lutheran congregation. And I am aghast at how many congregations do not teach the catechism at all, Todd, at all. It's not even that they don't teach memorization. They don't even use it at all. And adult instruction that becomes a Saturday morning, 1 or 2 hours. And what most of that involves is, what is the life of our congregation? Here are our boards and committees that you can serve on. This is your opportunity to serve, and so forth. But there's no inculcation of the Word of God, of the gospel. And we've done the same things with so many of our schools. And a lot of our schools are taking large subsidies from the government in terms of choice money. And in exchange for that, they are short shrifting on the catechesis because they recognize they can't force parents to attend this catechesis, nor can they obligate children to do it if they don't want to. I'm happy that for the most part, our schools that are choice schools in the Milwaukee area, the kids are being allowed by their parents to participate in confirmation instruction or catechesis in some of those schools, but that's not universally true in every case.
Finally, with about 30 seconds, what are we going to talk about next time?
Well, we've laid out a little bit of a foundation concerning confessional subscription today, that everything the church does, even in her auxiliary work, should be based upon her confession of faith and faithful to the scriptures. So we're going to begin at the foundation by talking about the church and her ministry in the strict sense. What is the spiritual kingdom? Which is to say, basically, what is the church? So we're going to lay that out with some biblical and confessional citations and another conversation with Andrew.
Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and sole teacher of the Catechism to the students of Peace Lutheran Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. He's also director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. You'll find a link to the Concordia Catechetical Academy and Peace Lutheran Church and School on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Peter, thanks.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back for the remaining half hour of Issues Etc. live on this Monday, September the 28th, we'll go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382. During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, "From God Can Nothing Move Me"? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Hamilton, Ohio. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Filer, Idaho. Redford Lutheran, Redford, Michigan. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. And Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.